delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Let me pray. Father, so much for your word. We thank you so much that you are the God who has spoken and who continues to speak to us now through this living word. And so we ask that this evening, Father, you would be speaking to us, you would be teaching us, you would give us soft hearts to receive what you have to say to us. And we ask that we would not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word too. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful. So do keep that passage open. Keep it open, page 512. And as I say, just a little thought this evening as we kind of close off our series on hearing God's voice. And another thought from this extremely gushy love poem about the Bible, that is Psalm 119. I don't know if you've read all the way through Psalm 119 before, but a few of the most uncomfortable verses in the Bible, weirdly, seem to be in Psalm 119. Not necessarily because of the really controversial instructions that we're being given, but because the tone of it just feels so gushy. Like my wife, surprise, surprise, she does love me to tell her that I love her sometimes. But I mean, if I said some of the stuff that's in this psalm about her, you might, I pant for you, and I'm so. It's like, whoa, that's a bit intense. Like this, the psalmist absolutely loves God's word. And I really hope that part of the outbox of the last couple of weeks, as we've been thinking about what God's word is to us, how God's word works, how God speaks to us, how he brings us life, I really hope that we aren't just kind of gaining knowledge, but we're also gaining real affection for God's word, that we are falling more and more in love, as this psalmist has, with God's word. Now, as we read this, you might be saying, well, we looked at this last week. We had exactly the same passage read. And all of the words that we're going to say in our kind of readings later to one another, just short corporate readings, they're exactly the same readings that we've had over the last couple of weeks. And to be honest, most of these songs, I don't know how Sam always selects our songs, there's a relatively limited bunch of songs for the Word of God that we kind of go to. It's exactly the same songs that we've had, so it feels quite similar. But that's actually entirely my point. I want to press into this idea of repetition tonight. Because for 10 minutes, we're gonna get really practical. We're going to think, after having heard about hearing God's voice, about what we might do over the next couple of weeks with God's voice. And we're going to be thinking about meditating, and we're going to be thinking about memorizing. There's no doubt that meditation is big in this love poem. I count it at least 10 times as I went through it over the last week. Verse 15, verse 23, verse 27, verse 48, verse 52, verse 78, verse 97, verse 99, verse 148, verse 176. Let me just read verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. Let me read verse 52. When I think of your rules from of old, I take comfort. Let me read verse 78, just across the page. Let the insolent be put to shame because they've wronged me with falsehood. As for me, I will meditate on your precepts. Meditation is absolutely everywhere, again and again in this psalm. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, the Bible, when it speaks about meditation, it doesn't mean kind of emptying our minds to find a state of inner peace. That's the way that our culture tends to think about meditation, isn't it? Maybe influenced by Eastern religions, etc. What the Bible means is the opposite of that. It's filling our minds, not emptying them. Filling our minds with God's truth. And actually, that is the way to inner peace, by filling our minds with God's truth, by filling our minds with God's promises. That's how we get inner peace. We actually just read it in verse 52, didn't we? As I think on your rules from of old, I'm comforted. So we're not talking about going away and hearing more of the word of God, though that's a good thing. And we're not talking off the back of these few weeks of going away and just listening. We're talking about meditating. God wants us to chew over and think about what he said. He wants his words to go deep into us, not just to kind of wash over us. There's a place, if you like, for eating God's word like a Michelin star meal instead of like a McDonald's. All of us, I don't know if any of you have experienced a Michelin star meal. I'm sure lots of us have experienced McDonald's. I get a Mac attack at about 20 past 7 every Sunday evening and often end up at McDonald's. And my McDonald's experience when I get home afterwards at 8 o'clock, 8:30, it's not very well thought through. I just gobble it all up. I don't kind of sit and chew and think, oh, isn't it incredible how the sauce here, the bacon's a bit crispier this week than it was last week. It's fulfilling a function. I just need to kind of get it in and then I'm done and I move on. But think about the Michelin star meal. If you had something so precious in front of you that was, well, as the Bible says, it is worth more than gold, even much fine gold, and I'm sitting down to dine with this sort of meal, and you wouldn't eat it like the cheeseburger, like the Mackie D's cheeseburger. You would take photos of what you have and you would share those with your friends. Look at this meal. Isn't this meal amazing? Let me tell you about this meal. And then you would, as you ate it, you would slowly eat it and you would kind of chew over it and think, oh, this reminds me of that. And that reminds, and isn't this incredible, this taste here? And you would savor every moment. You would let the taste linger and you'd pass on the experience. God's voice is meant to be a bit like that, rattling around in our heads all the time, staying with us, sticking with us, not going in one ear and out the other. Now, of course, we will consume over this next week, I hope, with various habits that we may have put in place. We will consume God's word in a variety of different ways. We're not always going to be able to have the Michelin star meal. We have those mornings, don't we? Do you have these mornings where somehow, you know, you've planned for 15 minutes in the Bible and it turns into 3 minutes? And Satan in those moments loves to tell us it's not worth it anymore. Do you ever have those moments? Let's say to Satan in those moments, say 3 minutes, I know it was meant to be 15, but still 3 minutes of gold is better than absolutely nothing. So of course, we'll have those sorts of days when we where it turns into the emergency 3 minutes, and that is still worth it. Let's still grab 3 minutes. And of course, we'll have those moments where, I don't know, we're reading the Bible in the morning and we can't remember what we read at lunchtime, and the meal functions a little bit like breakfast and it's going to keep us going. And that's good for us, but we can't really remember what it is that we read. But at the same time as these different ways of consuming it, there should be a place in our lives for the Michelin star dining approach, for pausing and pondering and digesting and going really slow. But we, of course, find that hard, don't we? We're surrounded by a constant pressure of what's next. Productivity is the thing that we value in our day, and checklists are so good, and we approach the day much more as a kind of, how much can I get done? I mean, rarely in the day do we say, there's a task, I wonder just how long I can spend on it. Most of the time we're like, let's just get moving on. With a generation that's kind of lost the ability to just stop and think, and blogs on our phones that only take 5 minutes to read have made us fidgety, and we just glance at one thing and then need to move on to something else. And Amazon has told us that we can have anything now and get it delivered immediately, we don't need to wait. And it's easy to bring this sort of fidgety culture into hearing God's voice. We think our devotional life has to cover lots of ground rather than a few sentences well in the morning. We can come to sermons like checklists. I've learned this thing. What's the next thing I need to learn? I've learned that thing. What's the next? You know, one chapter of the Bible, download, information download complete. Next chapter of the Bible, information download complete. Next chapter. Maybe some of us who've been in Crossways in our family for 5 years were thinking as we got back into 1 Peter, I did 1 Peter 5 years ago. Why are we doing 1 Peter again? We need something new. We need something novel. Like, we can do that. But the psalmist here, he doesn't say, verse 15, I will skim over your precepts and glance at your ways. He says, I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. He doesn't say, verse 23, take away, even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will briefly refer to your statutes. The psalmist loves meditating. And there are loads of ways that we can do this, as well as making the most of certain opportunities we have around us rather than creating new ones. There's a sense, I hope, in which Crossway groups are, as I think Jamie suggested a couple of years ago, meditation groups. Do you see them as that? It's a kind of more Michelin star than Mackie D's. We get to look at the Bible a few days before and see what's going on in the passage and then bring what we thought to a group and then talk with our group about it together and kind of gain help from one another as we're looking at the word. And then we're thinking about how this speaks to us, and then we're praying about how it would change us in the week, how we'd live in light of what we've heard, and then hopefully we're checking in with one another in light of those prayer requests that were sent out. How's this going? How's 1 Peter 2 shaping you at the moment? This thing was happening recently, wasn't it? And I've been praying a verse from 1 Peter 2 for you. Hopefully we can see Crossway groups as a little bit more Michelin star than Mackie D's. But one area that's really helped me when it comes to meditating, to chewing over God's words again and again and again, is memorizing small parts of Scripture. Not necessarily a huge chunk, but memorizing small parts of Scripture. I think we have a practice like that in verse 11. So just look at verse 11 of this love poem. Verse 11 says this: I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Now, chat to me afterwards about what you think that might mean. Some translations say, I've treasured up in my heart your word that I might not sin against you. So, you know, does it mean I just treasure God's word in my heart? Like it's a wonderful thing that I feel affection for. Or does it mean more what it seems to suggest here? I've stored it up. I've taken what's here and it's now kind of stuck in here. I think it means that much more. I think it's speaking much more about a person who is so in love with God's word that they want to kind of, as it were, like its treasure, keep it safe. So something that I find really valuable, I hide away and keep safe. I think that's what's going on here. Memorization. Now, I'm sure lots of us can think immediately about ways that memorization, Bible memorization, is going to be really, really helpful. The God's word literally not being able to be taken away from us. And I'm sure there will be lots of people in other countries, lots of Christians in other countries, that will benefit from this in an amazing way, because maybe God, the scriptures have been taken away from them and they're suffering for Jesus, remembering his words that have stuck because they've memorized them. But that is amazing, isn't it? You know, God can't stop speaking to me. You might take away my Bible, but I still have God's word. One of the things that Jamie stressed over the last few weeks is the excitement of hearing God's voice in the Bible wherever we want to. We just go to the Bible. And that's very exciting. He spoke about how relational that is, how powerful that is, how practical that is. There was another P that I can't remember, personal, I think it was. And that this is actually more exciting than waiting for the kind of little voice in my head occasionally that might guide me in this way or that way. But I want to suggest, actually, with Bible memorization, you get, in a wonderful way, God's voice in your head, guiding you and helping you in certain moments. You really can have God's living and active word here, in here, helping you. As you're walking to the shop, or you're confronted with a particular temptation, or experience this particular sadness and need comfort. And we need God's word kind of that close to us too, don't we? I don't know how, it's interesting, isn't it, that it says, that I might not sin against you. I think we see something of this in the Lord Jesus' life, don't we? He memorized scripture, and whenever the devil tried to make him fall, he spoke back things that he remembered from God's word to the devil. And we need kind of God's word more immediately for us in those moments where the devil is, where we're being tempted to sin. You can't think, oh, hang on a second, Satan, I'm really tempted to go over here. Just wait, let me just... Now, sometimes that happens, but isn't it wonderful when we have an actual promise, when we can fight the devil's lies with an actual promise that we have remembered? That is very, very powerful. I've had the privilege over the last few weeks of meditating on 1 Peter in particular. And it's not that I've intentionally sat down and thought, I'm going to learn this particular verse and that particular verse and the other particular verse. It's just that I happen to have been in a Bible study on one night that I've prepared for, and then we've enjoyed it together, and then I've helped write a Bible study to lead with some leaders, and then we've enjoyed the same passage together, and then I've been in the same Bible study on a Wednesday or a Thursday night with others. And so I've basically had, like, it's not overexposure, because you can't get overexposure, but do you know what I mean? It's just naturally happened that 3 times round I've got to hear Peter saying exactly the same thing. And it's what I've really felt the benefit of that, because Peter has stuck in my head. He's been rattling around, and what God has been saying, I've been able to chew over and digest, and then bring back up again, and then re-digest. It's kind of like, I don't know, you know, cows' digestive systems, don't they bring stuff back up and then they go for it again? Think about cows dining in a Michelin star restaurant. It's a disgusting image, isn't it? Sorry, that's I like those. Remember those pictures where you had like dogs in playing snooker in, that was bizarre. Let's think of something like that, cows in a Michelin star restaurant regurgitating, like eating beautiful food again and again and again. Anyway, no, don't think of that. Basically, just because of what I've been kind of going through and hearing God's voice through 1 Peter again and again and again, I've got this kind of Peter filter as I'm wandering around. And let me tell you kind of just automatically more quickly seeing things through God's glasses, if you get what I mean. Just some examples, 3 examples. The other day, Jen and I, we were talking about, lots of you know we're trying to sell our house at the moment, and we were kind of chatting that through and talking about things that were going well and things that weren't, things that we needed to possibly change. And suddenly, at that moment, into my head popped, you've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. And it just helped me remember again where our true home is and how secure and how much better it is compared to, I don't know, any dream we might have of this house or that house or whatever. 2 weeks ago, I was feeling a little bit shaky about something, and then rattling around my head, because we'd just been in these verses, were these wonderful words, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And it helped me in the moment remember the wonderful way that God sees me now. And I was thinking, you know, is that approval, is that identity enough? And that was a real settler. Something popped up the other day and I was getting a little bit grumpy and irritated. And then I was humbled by the end of that sentence, because I remembered what comes at the end of that. Once you were not a people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And that, again, that was a reality check in terms of all these kind of different attitudes I was feeling kind of bubbling up. It just helped me think, now, who am I? I'm only someone who has received mercy. And who is this person I'm thinking this, that, or the other about? They're one of my church family who has also received mercy like me and is now part of God's people with me. And it just completely changed my posture. That's just a few examples where having God's wonderful word that we love stored up has really been a great help. And I won't be the only one in this room who will be able to tell stories about how Bible memorization has really helped us in the moment as we've been walking with the Lord. And let's get meditating, slowly chewing over, so that we can get memorizing. And let's get memorizing so that we might meditate more. I think the two is kind of a virtuous cycle. Now, some of us will say, how can I ever do that? You know, this psalmist, he's saying wonderful things. He loves meditation. He doesn't want to forget God's word. He wants to store it up. But how can I do that? I think it's actually really simple. We'll talk a bit about it in a minute in twos and threes. But I think it's just kind of memorize God's word the way that we memorize other words every day. So lots of us will know about the two-year-old on YouTube who can sing the whole of a four-minute track from Frozen. Like, they know a lot of words, and they're only two. We can learn four verses if a two-year-old can learn 4 minutes of a Frozen track. It's just seeing the same words again and again and listening to the same words again and again and speaking back the same words again and again and singing. I mean, this is one of the great benefits of singing, isn't it? We'll all be able to sing back tunes. I'm sure you have the words of life, the words of life. We're talking there about, you know, what Peter's saying to Jesus, and we'll be able to sing that and remember that, singing the same words again and again, like the Frozen track, and sooner or later those words stick. Maybe it's time to stick up a Bible verse or two above the kettle, somewhere we have to look in the morning that greets us, and say it when we do that task we always have to do again and again and again. Or maybe it's time to switch the playlist from Taylor to Slugs and Bugs. Slugs and Bugs, chat to the kids. The kids are probably much better at memorizing Bible verses than we are. Maybe it's time to spend 3 minutes a day, whatever else that time with the Lord looks like devotionally, to think and repeat and sing and share and pray and memorize one verse. And then move on to another one once we've done that. The one who loves God's word, Psalm 119 tells us, the one who loves God's word meditates upon it and stores it up. Let's make that one outbox at the end of this great series and see what the Lord might do as we feed on his life-giving, life-sustaining voice. Great. Well, I'm done. Why don't we just quickly, in twos, let's talk about some of what we see there in the taking the truth deeper section, and I think Andrew will bring us back together after that. Why don't we turn in twos and quickly talk through some of those questions and think about what getting practical in this way might look like this week, next week, and then we'll come back together.